Thank you very much. My name is James Cohn. I'm a medical director of the World Trade Center Health Registry, which is a separate research part of the World Trade Center Health Program overall. In answer to your question about other cohorts, there are other research studies and clinical programs. Our research study does include more than several thousand, certainly about 40,000 people who were just in the area, area workers and passersby. So they're people that would have been exposed in a much different way than the firefighters, which we also have children, over 3,000 children who were enrolled by their parents after 9/11, who were either school children or residents in Lower Manhattan. We have also over 600 pregnant women who were pregnant on 9/11. And we have a diverse group of rescue and recovery workers, over 32,000 who signed up, including some overlap with the fire department. Today, though, I'm going to talk more about asthma among a special subgroup of Staten Island landfill workers and barge workers. These are people who I'll show transported the materials from the World Trade Center site to the site in Staten Island. Our registry, as I mentioned, is a cohort. It's a cohort, longitudinal and retrospective cohort study. It involved 71,000 people who volunteered to be part of a tracking system after 9/11. This is a registry that was designed to look for the longitudinal or long-term health effects, chronic health effects, particularly those physical and mental health effects that could have been resulting from exposure to 9/11. We also are designed to respond to community concerns about what their potential health effects might be, and we also recruit people into the World Trade Center Health Program, those people who are eligible from our cohort. Our history is we were started by a CDC and FEMA funding, starting really with the idea of tracking those people who were exposed. It's beginning really in 2002, the study was planned, and our first enrollment was an enrollment by either phone call interview or a personal interview in 2003-2004. And since then, every 2 to 3 years, we've surveyed our registrants, asking them questions about exposure, health effects, and things like unmet healthcare needs, their mental health, trying to understand better what their long-term health effects have been. We've also done other studies based on this cohort, including a Hurricane Sandy study. This is a study to look at the effects of double exposure to traumatic event. This was launched 6 months after Hurricane Sandy. We also have done in-depth follow-up studies of subgroups, including a group of people with lower respiratory symptoms, looking at pulmonary function. And we also are now doing an autoimmune disease study, as well as currently doing our Wave 4 health study. The background on the Staten Island landfill is it was opened in 1947. It became so large that it became the largest man-made structure in the world. It was 82 feet higher than the Statue of Liberty. It was closed on March 22, 2001, but unfortunately had to be reopened after 9/11. It was reopened the day after 9/11 to receive the debris. The actual site is shown here. Is you might be familiar with the geography of the area, but there are transfer stations where the debris was transported and then was transported by barge to the actual landfill site. Over 15,000 workers were estimated to have participated in this process, and I say estimated because we really don't know the exact number. This is based on the number of workers who are trained in personal protective equipment for preparation to work on the site. But again, that points up the need to have a better tracking system for workers after a disaster, which is now part of IRMS, the CDC recommended occupational health procedures after a disaster, one of the lessons learned from 9/11. This is an example of a barge being loaded. There was over 1.8 million tons of debris. These are two very large buildings, plus seven other buildings, that were some of which collapsed, some were partially damaged. This is a large crime scene, as well as a large construction site that made it complicated. This is the site of the barge unloading at Staten Island. The actual landfill, as you can see, takes up a large area. These are large open sites where the materials were initially dumped and then sorted. This is by hand. This is a very difficult task, as you can imagine. First of all, emotionally, you can imagine this work. Very, very difficult work, because you never knew when you were going to encounter human remains or something you thought were human remains. So it was a very challenging work environment, occupationally and emotionally. We then see that the process was a little bit automated with shakers that were able to separate the larger debris from the smaller debris. And then there were mechanical screens that were able to then also make it easier to find materials that could be then identified. Large amounts were large chunks of debris. These could be inspected on a kind of a conveyor belt. And ultimately, debris was then taken to a crime scene unit trailer where the human remains were then, if they were able to be identified using DNA techniques, they were taken to the Office of the Medical Examiners for further identification. And they were very successful. They identified most of the persons who were known to have died from 9/11. It's amazing. It's an amazing process. It's a process that continues to this day. Unfortunately, there are still remains being discovered as construction is going on near the World Trade Center site, and those remains are still being examined. And it's a difficult thing for the families, as you can imagine, the state, you know, 12 years later to have be notified that we found remains of your loved one. The background for asthma, we've just heard a lot about asthma after 9/11, and there have been many studies that were published in showing that asthma is one of the main results, unfortunately, of the exposure to this dust, particularly those who are at risk, or those who arrived earliest, and who worked the longest. Particularly working on the World Trade Center pile, as you can imagine, that was a major exposure. But the asthma risk for those who worked in this special process at the Staten Island landfill were not really well studied. There have been quite a few studies of what were the irritants that were present, and Dr. Halls mentioned them. But there are things that are known to cause upper respiratory and lower respiratory irritation. Our specific aims of our study were try to understand the risk of asthma among the landfill and barge workers, and see whether there were specific tasks, because there were different tasks that people did on the landfill compared to those who worked at World Trade Center site. Were any of those tasks specifically associated with asthma? There are prior studies. Kitty Gelberg from the New York State Health Department did a study, an occupational health study in 1997. She published this study of the actual sanitation workers who worked at the landfill and found that they had a number of respiratory and other health problems associated with work at the landfill. Landfill is not an innocuous work environment, as you can imagine. It's a very large site. The workers at the Staten Island landfill after 9/11 had more kind of a double exposure to the landfill itself plus the additional debris. Our methods, we did a baseline survey, as I mentioned, the World Trade Center Health Registry survey. Unfortunately, we didn't ask a lot about the Staten Island exposure in that survey. We had several following surveys asking about asthma. We did then a qualitative study using key informant interviews. We actually interviewed quite a number of Staten Island and barge workers just to find out what they did specifically to be able to then design our more quantitative follow-up study. This is published by Dr. Kinga. We then tried to assess work at the Staten Island landfill using a series of questions about what exactly they were exposed to as best they recalled. This is 9 to 10 years after their exposure. But we did ask if they had remembered breathing in the dust and the debris piles, seeing the dust in the air. Did they have impaired visibility, or were there other exposures at the site? And did they wear protective equipment, take a shower, or otherwise have maybe ways of reducing their exposure? We then categorized that according to this chart, scoring it, try to understand the best way to combine this information. We then divided the hazard into two groups. Those who were scoring greater than 15, we considered to be relatively high exposure. It was difficult. We asked them, you know, they had 17 different tasks that they described. As you could see just from some of the slides, a very diverse group of tasks. And we then used a modified Delphi method, asking experts to group those tasks into exposure, relative exposure levels. We invited 6 experts, and then we did 2 rounds of estimation of what the ranking of the exposures might have been. We categorized them into 4 categories of potential exposure based on this Delphi method. Here are a list of 17 tasks. The highest levels were those in the group 4, digging earth, moving, the sanitation work, loading and dumping, sifting by hand, of course, conveyor belt or dust, working with the rakes, and then welding and steel cut torch. These are the tasks that were identified by our experts as the highest risk. But the other risks aren't, the other groups of workers are not insignificant. It was a little difficult to sort, in fact, these tasks. Food service, of course, we'd expect to be a lower risk, but some of those people did have other exposures that were entailed in being just on the site. Post-traumatic stress disorder was assessed as part of our Wave 1 survey and Wave 2 and Wave 3 surveys. We scored the items according to the DSM criteria, as well as a greater than 44 score on the post-traumatic stress checklist. Our case definition for the asthma was that they had to have a year of diagnosis reported, and we excluded pre-9/11 cases. We also noted that some people reported different years of diagnosis, some pre and some post 9/11. So we had to use the earliest year, this early survey that they answered. And we also developed annual incidence rates and cumulative incidence between 9/11 and end of 2004. Again, Charlie's point about how long is too long to expect to see asthma related to 9/11. That's a really good question, and we just chose an arbitrary cutoff of December of 2004, but we could have extended. I think we did see there was a reduced annual incidence after that point, but I think some of the cases, you know, after that point probably were related. We used a logistic regression analysis to try to adjust for age, gender, and other known associated factors with asthma risk. We had 4,147 eligible registrants. Of these, 55% participated. We had to exclude a few people who said they didn't ever work at Staten Island, after all. And they didn't remember anyway, it's 9 years later. And we had some people who had pre-9/11 asthma, as you'd expect. So we had a total of 1,836 participants, of whom 100 had developed or reported asthma diagnosed by a physician, or reactive airways dysfunction syndrome, which is a syndrome of irritant-induced asthma. Our study participants, as you might expect, were mostly male, ages 25 to 64, mostly white, with some college education, mostly with $50,000 or more annual income, and were married. Participants were older, white males, more married, and reported income that was greater than those who were non-participants. And they also had less likely PTSD. Our annual cumulative incidence post 9/11 was about 100 over 1836, or about 5%. This, of course, is quite a lot higher than the predicted asthma or incidence of adults, which is about 0.3% per year. This annual incidence had fallen by the end of 2004, but not down to the level of the expected. We did look at respiratory protection. It was difficult because the respiratory protection they used in Ground Zero made it difficult to then sort out respiratory protection at Staten Island. The results are shown here. You can see there is an increased risk among women, and slightly increased risk, maybe barely statistically significant, for those with a smaller or lower education. Those workers in the police department had an increased odds ratio, and those who had the work exposure index of 15 or greater had about a 2.5-fold increased odds of developing asthma. Work start period and work at the site, either at ground zero plus Staten Island or just Staten Island, there didn't seem to be a significant difference, although there may be a trend. Those people with double exposure seem to have a slightly higher rate, at least the odds ratio. And the results of our looking at smoking status, smoking by itself did not seem to have an impact. Injuries, those who were injured probably had higher exposure at 9/11. That wouldn't relate necessarily to their Staten Island work. And the mental health impact, of course, is here. We've seen often PTSD is strongly associated with asthma. Here it is, 2.5-fold increased odds. Finally, our look at our work activities groupings show that those in group four, of course, the majority of people worked at some point in one of those group four activities, as you can see, with over 1,100 of the work of the workers in that group. 80 of the asthma cases occurred in that group, 2.5-fold increased odds. So there is something to do with what they actually did. I think certainly asthma has a relationship to task. So our cumulative incidence is certainly higher than expected for those. Now is this 3-fold increased odds for asthma RADs just due to their Staten Island work? That's difficult because most of these people worked at both Ground Zero and at Staten Island. There is specific work that seems to be associated, and those are digging by hand, sifting, earth moving, sanitation work, and welding. Our consistent findings looking at other research on asthma, certainly it's very similar to other studies of World Trade Center workers. We did try to analyze their respiratory protection, and indeed those who wore half-face or full-face respirators had a reduced rate of asthma, but it wasn't statistically significant due to the small numbers. We actually were only able to look at this in the group that only worked at Staten Island, so it was difficult to sort out. We are looking at self-reported data. This is all self-report of physician-diagnosed asthma. And there was a long time period, unfortunately, after 9/11. It took a while to do this study. There was a moderate response rate, so maybe there's some certainly a selection bias. And again, I mentioned the difficult to sort out whether was this really related just to Staten Island or was it related to their combined exposure work. And these are workers who also have hazard on other work they've done. They're sanitation workers, police, sometimes the firefighters and crime scene investigators. These people are not totally unexposed in the regular lines of work, so this may also have something to do with their other work on other occupational exposures. Conclusion is that we do see there's an association between Staten Island barge and landfill work and asthma or RADs. I think it really emphasizes the importance of ERMS and other work that CDC is doing to try to better protect rescue and recovery workers. This is a group that really was performing very important work. They were trying to identify the human remains of survivors of a very major disaster, and that's really, first of all, a very difficult task psychologically and physically. You can see that they paid in terms of their health as well as their mental health from doing this work. We need to do better interventions to try to reduce the risk of asthma as well as post-traumatic stress in post-disaster recovery. Thank you very much.